This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Well, our next guest is making the case for reviving the art and craft of tinkering, and she has loads of inspiring ideas for projects that we can do at home.
So are you? Do you do projects at home, Veronica?
I try to do projects, but they always fail miserably to spectacularly, like the tornado that didn't do anything but settle disappointingly to the bottom of the soda bottle. That's my kind of project.
I'm like a wannabe maker dad. I'll like order these kits for my kids. We did the catapult. We haven't done the trebuchet or the robot doodling kit.
That's advanced stuff.
Well, no, but they're easy kits.
I couldn't even do the making grass grow kit.
Well, we'll hear why we should and maybe how we can get started. We've got Karen Wilkinson. She's director of the Tinkering Studio at the Exploratorium in San Francisco. She's co-author of the new book. It's called The Art of Tinkering. Karen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm laughing about the making the grass grow.
Yeah, I can watch the grass grow successfully. I'm not great at growing it either. Well, what is tinkering? What do you mean by tinkering?
Well, to me, I mean, tinkering is actually a really old word. It was first used to describe people who kind of were nomadic and repaired tin pots, actually. So the clink, clink, clink. Anyway, I think that's where where it all began. But to me, what tinkering is really all about is a kind of a playful and investigative way of kind of figuring things out, whether it's tornadoes in a bottle or the trebuchets or catapults. Or really all sorts of things, art, science, technology.
Have we gotten too far away from having that kind of curious tinkering ethic, do you think?
Well, I think it's a really good question. I feel like everyone is born a tinkerer. And I think whether it's school or kind of societal pressures, I'm not sure, but I think we've trained it out of ourselves. So we need to get back in touch with it and cultivate it.
Well, is this one of those things, like I'm fairly inept, I don't like doing things I'm not very good at, and then we have this mindset that if we're not good at it, we shouldn't do it. Do you think that's keeping some of us from playing and tinkering in this way?
I absolutely do. The way you described yourself as a wannabe maker dad, it's like, yes, that's fabulous. But for you to turn around and say, like, you know, I try something and it doesn't work, I think it's very natural for people to internalize that and not want to, I don't know if it's just feel inadequate or like it's just not working or it's your fault. But I feel like the tinkerers that I have kind of been around as part of my work at the Exploratorium here in San Francisco, I feel like they all have this one quality, and they're incredibly stubborn and don't see failure as failure. They just see it as more information about what to do next.
Oh, and that's what they always say about, you know, the Thomas Edisons and the other inventors of the world, that failure was just another step toward the eventual success.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, kind of embracing mistakes, really.
Well, that's kind of a tenet of tinkering, and you lay out a few in the book. One is reinvent old technologies. Why would we want to reinvent the wheel or the light bulb or whatever?
Well, I mean, we actually make a joke about this. I mean, we really mean it seriously, but we do talk about, you know, the importance of reinventing the wheel because really, if you look across, well, maker cultures, but also just sort of everything in the book, there aren't really brand new ideas. They're ideas that come up in terms of new materials or technologies, but they're all kind of based on something. And I feel like it's the different perspectives that people bring to things that are so interesting. And I often tell people to find something that excites them the most, whether it was something that resonated with you when you were a teenager or, you know, something that you saw in a store or something last week. If it's of interest, start there. And I think it's really, you know, the older stuff anyway, older things reconsidered are pretty magical to me, actually.
And another tenet you point out is create rather than consume. And that reminds me of my late grandfather who, you know, when his lamp broke, he would take the lamp apart and fix it. And in my generation, or at least speaking for myself, if my lamp breaks, I go out and buy a new lamp. How can we start changing our mentality to fix something or make something new rather than just go out to the store and buy it?
Yeah, I feel like that's changing a bit. I definitely feel like we are a big society of consumers, and I think that there's real pride and empowerment that comes from either repairing or reworking something like an old lamp that's not working, or even starting from scratch and, you know, going to the hardware store and buying a length of wire, a socket, you know, and really putting something together from nothing. Both of those, I feel like, are something we're all capable of, kids and adults, and really should be doing.
We'll get into some practical stuff in a minute, but first I want to know, what do we get out of it? What's in it for us if we make the effort and we do some tinkering of one sort or another?
Well, I feel like there is this, you know, I said it before, this incredible sense of empowerment, but I also feel like when you start tinkering and others see you, whether it's families or friends or coworkers, I feel like the excitement grows, and then you get this incredible appreciation for ideas and things that you're trying, but then you also get people wanting to try things out related to that or just hanging out with you, so it becomes this thing that you're participating in that's much larger than just yourself.
So suppose we want to get started. Are there some good basic tools? What's a good tinkerer toolkit to make sure we have around as we start to take on projects?
Well, every tinkerer is going to give you a different answer to that question, but I would say we all covet tools. And for me, probably my prized possession of the moment is a very fancy soldering iron called a Weller soldering iron. But you don't have to start with fancy tools. I mean, literally, you know, good wire strippers, a really good X-Acto blade, you know, like all of those things from really low-tech to high-tech tools can be really invaluable.
And Karen, you're a professional tinkerer. In your spare time, though, what are you doing? What kind of projects do you have going on now? Or do you leave it at work? You're tired of tinkering by the time you get home.
Well, you're far too kind to call me a professional tinkerer. I love this. But what I'm working on right now at home, it's been raining here in San Francisco, and I have started this habit that has become an obsession, which is collecting plastic bags. I don't know if they've been banned in Wisconsin, but they've been banned in the city here. So they're getting harder and harder to find.
Okay. You're going to have to start ordering them soon.
Yeah. Well, I already am ordering them, actually. I'm looking at a wall here at work, and I have one at home that has rolls and rolls of different colored plastic bags from around the world. But anyway, I'm digressing.
Okay, what do you do with them? Yeah.
I fuse those things together so you can layer them up under an iron. You lay a piece of wax paper on top, and then you can fuse them, stick them all together. And so I've been making picnic blankets and then sewing in a layer of this stuff underneath so they're waterproof.
Okay.
Nothing super fancy.
And you use them as a tablecloth or a picnic blanket or whatever you want.
Yep. In the book, one of the things that's featured is a jacket that I made. I was making clothes out of these for a while. But, right now, you can really, anything you can imagine plastic being a part of, you can turn them into that.
So this makes the case that this does not have to be an expensive hobby. You can use a lot of found materials like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the my favorite things is just the sort of remixing and reconsidering. At the museum recently, we've been doing these toy take-apart workshops, toy dissections. And we literally cut these toys open and pull out the innards and then reimagine and remake them into new things. And one of my favorites that just got created, I think this could torment the 7-year-old, but it was an Elmo that was taken apart, turned inside out, and then a voice box from a Halloween toy that kind of went wah, 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 was stuck inside.
And there you've got evil Halloween Elmo.
Yes, yeah.
Well, and looking at some of the projects in your book, you've got, maybe this was part of the same project, inventing new animals. Is that, again, just recombining existing toys or found art or found materials, or what is that?
Yeah, a lot of, I think, just reconsidering toys and all that they can do. I think that might be Asia Ward stuff. She's actually a Minnesota artist. I lived in the Twin Cities for years, so I love Wisconsin.
All right. Anyway,
but Asia, she takes really old used toys and combines them, and hers look really incredible, and they take on completely different personalities. Yeah.
We're talking to Karen Wilkinson about her new book, The Art of Tinkering. She makes the case that we should work with our hands, do projects, and have fun with it. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about crafting, do-it-yourself projects, and more with Karen Wilkinson. Her new book is called The Art of Tinkering.
And you can join the conversation. Are you a maker, a do-it-yourselfer, a craftsperson, or do you wish you were but need some advice or inspiration on how to get started? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send a quick email to talk@wpr.org. We'll go right to our callers now. We've got Nathan on the line in New London. Nathan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just, I kind of enjoy tinkering, and I wanted to share a story about something I built probably when I was 16. It was an ice boat, so we have this frozen lake where I grew up. And so what I did is I took apart some ice skates for runners and then built this little frame for it. And rigged up a sail using some conduit as like sail.
Because the mast, kind of.
Yeah, a mast, exactly. And then you could really get rocketing along this frozen lake. And I had a little rudder out of an ice skate, and it was just a blast until I eventually bent the mast.
Until the inevitable happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nathan, that was when you were 16. Do you still do stuff like this?
Yeah, I'm actually starting my own farm, so a lot of that is just tinkering around with various stuff and trying to do with whatever materials I have on hand.
Nathan, thank you so much for sharing that. And Karen, he sounds like the ideal tinkerer. And I was going to say, another tenet he reminded me of, that ice boat sounded like it might be a little dangerous. Should tinkers be okay with a little element of danger?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, the lovely part for me was also taking skates apart and using those for the runners. But I think this element of excitement and risk, it's definitely part of it. Yeah.
And he's going to be a farmer. And that makes me think, I think when you talk about the maker movement and tinkering and that sort of thing, there's two cultures. There's these people who are doing this hip new thing. And then there's people like farmers or maybe earlier generations who are like, that's just what you do. that's what we've always done.
Yeah, I mean, tinkering out of necessity, that really, you know, talk about original makers. I grew up in a rural area, so yeah, absolutely, that kind of tinkering, you know, making do, exactly what Nathan said, with whatever you have on hand. But it's really an incredible thing in terms of, especially kids now are kind of detached more and more from the way things work. And I think being on a farm, you're confronted with that constantly when things don't work. You have to make them work again. And I think just getting back in touch with that, you know, if you're not exposed to that on a daily basis like you would be on a farm.
Nathan, thanks a lot for sharing that story. We've got Peter now on the line in Broadhead. Peter, hi.
Hi. So I was rural culture again. If you ever get a chance, go to a tractor pull, and if they'll let you into the pits, take a look around, and you will find all sorts of inventions, things that you've just never even seen before. They're, you know, where there's a need, they just build. Now, I've been a tinker, I guess you'd call it, you know, pretty much my whole life. I can remember being like 8 or 9 years old, and we had a flood. And a lot of people's basements flooded, and so they were putting all this stuff out to the curb. Well, I found a big old cabinet tube radio, and I pulled the radio portion out of the cabinet. And I've kind of sat down and figured out how to wire it up, and I got it wired up and got a speaker attached to it. And I had all the tubes were exposed, and luckily all the tubes worked. I let them everything dry out well. And so I had my own AM tube radio.
Nice.
And then I got really into nice. More electronics and.
All right, Peter, thanks a lot. So 8 or 9, he's fixing those tube radios. And tractor pulls is a source for inspiration. I don't know if you've I've never been in the pit at a tractor pull. Have you, Karen?
No, I haven't, but I can definitely imagine the inventiveness that takes place. You know, and the hipsters, as you call them now, you know, with Maker Faire, a thing to do is go to these power tool drag races. So, you know, I think it's all there in the way things work, whether it's tractors or anything else. I mean, figuring out how things work, reworking them, fixing them, that's really what it's all about.
Peter, thanks for the call. We've got Susan on the line now in Daggett, Michigan. Daggett, did I say that right, Susan?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
What, are you a tinkerer?
Oh, yes, I love to tinker. I inherited that from my dad. And I'm a rag rug weaver. I use clothing to make rugs, and then I try to make things out of the rugs, purses, log carriers, baby changing mats. I use ties. I try to use the pockets from the clothes. I try to use the buttons.
Okay, and now you make these things, Susan. Do you use them? Do you give them as gifts? What ends up happening to all these projects?
It's kind of turning into a business.
Oh.
I started about 30 years ago, and it's just grown by word of mouth mostly. I do a few art fairs. I'm in a few galleries. I do a lot of custom work. I have 10 looms. So, in fact, I just bought a new house so I could have a real nice workshop. So I'm getting serious.
Susan, thanks for the call. Karen, I bet there are a lot of spouses who have heard the line, something like, we need a new house or garage or something to make room for that workshop.
Yeah, I can absolutely identify with a new house for a loom. Yeah.
And you've got a section on textiles in your book.
Yeah, actually, there are a lot of fiber artists doing some pretty incredible things and working with kind of original techniques and putting a twist on them. One of my favorite examples of that is Emily Stone King. She took a technique for knitting that's used in making the toe of a sock, and kind of by playing with this, realized that she could sculpt three-dimensionally with yarn, and then has now actually turned this into a business. She lists her stuff on Etsy at a business called Anitomy instead of Anatomy, and she knits these amazing dissected looking animals. So a frog that's split open like you had in biology class. And she actually sells them on dissection trays, completely pinned open. But it's all knitted yarn.
And no offense to her, people buy these?
Oh my gosh. Well, maybe I can't be the only one. I have three.
All right. All right. Well, we've got another project on the line here. Barry is with us in La Crosse. Barry, hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, my wife did a great tinkering job recently. I play in a band, and we both are in the band, and the microphone stands at the end of the night when you're putting them away are kind of a hard to pack thing, you know, big metal microphone stands. So we were previously using like a bag like that a tent came in, and that eventually gave way and tore the bottom out. So then we had the idea to find an old golf bag, which we found at Goodwill. And she took the little thing out that keeps the golf clubs in the right place. She took that out of there, and now we have a golf bag with an arm carrier to use for our microphone stand.
Nice. Oh, we need that for my band. That's a great tip. Karen, how much of tinkering is looking for problems like that to solve?
Exactly, yeah. It's posing that problem, the mic stands that didn't work in the tent bag anymore. And I think the lovely thing is now they've got, not only is it a customized and very personal mic stand bag, I bet it's fabulous looking.
They're that band with a golf bag, man. Well, Karen, can you leave us with a project, a prescription for something we can try maybe even this weekend?
Oh, gosh, let's see, what to try. Well, I'm trying to think of something that anybody would have. Let's do cameras. Try looking at cameras from a really different perspective. Taking an image of some kind from a different vantage point. There are a few in the book. I'll give you one example, and it's going to be a far-out one, so I kind of hesitate, but I'm going to say it anyway. Justin Quinnell turned his mouth into a pinhole camera and put film inside his mouth, exposing it using the gap between his teeth, and you get on film this incredible look out his teeth, down to his feet. He's sitting in the bathtub, and you see the faucets and things, and you get this incredible perspective.
And I think all the old spies used to do exactly that. Karen, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Great. Thank you.
That was Karen Wilkinson. As I said earlier, she's a professional tinkerer at the Exploratorium in San Francisco. She's co-author of the new book, Lots of Craft Projects, Tinkering Projects in the book. It's called The Art of Tinkering.